Hey guys, I'm Mary.
It's Elise.
And you are listening to Messy Buns Podcast. Hey Elise, you know when guys asking you to do something and you're like, nope, that sounds dumb. People think I'm crazy. Well, today we're talking about getting past what other people think.
That's a hard
it's
one.
It's called Vanity, the song. Stop it. I know. I just realized that.
I know. It was meant to be.
I think it like came in at the perfect time too.
You got to break it down a little bit before we get into this. If you hear any random squeaking, that would be my dog. Yeah. Just an FYI.
I just want to say, as I was introducing you guys to this episode, Elise was looking at me like I was crazy. Did it sound as dumb coming out of my mouth as
no.
It felt?
It was just fast. I was trying to my brain is so slow right now because my sugars are really high. So it's kind of like my brain is farting repeatedly.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, FYI, I'm diabetic and I say this a lot. I'll be like, I'm high.
Which is what you literally just said to me. And yes. I was like, explain please.
And I mean, my sugars are high. So I'm not on the marijuana.
Okay, the first thing anyways. I thought was progesterone.
You always
side
think progesterone.
Note, side party. Okay. All right. Well, I feel like I already know the answer to this question. But how do you feel about raccoons?
Oh. I love raccoons. I
okay. They're actually, people are hating us right now because most people hate raccoons.
I know, but they're so cute.
We
they're
did not
hands.
Plan that.
They're little hands.
I know, right? They're little hands. It's like they're humans, kind of, with how they could get into food anyway. Funny story.
I have a problem.
You do have a problem. I have a lot of problems.
Yeah, but we'll get back to that. Okay, you have a funny story about a raccoon?
Well, I mean, only sort of. You might actually know this story, but we have tons of raccoons. I mean, I'm sure you do too. Like, by our houses.
I feel like you have more raccoons.
Okay, maybe
I'm
I do.
Trying to find them and I can't.
Oh, because you love them.
Yeah.
Well, you have windows by your backyard. Anyway, long side note.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, they love to get into trash cans. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know this. And with their human fingers. Well, we have been having them get into our trash cans at the side of our house. And this one day, Chris told me this happened. He went to put out the trash and he opened up the trash can. And I wish y'all could see, but a raccoon literally jumped out and went like, ah! Like, how do you describe
the
this
surprise?
Motion? Yeah,
like
with the hand, with like, the spirit
not
fingers.
Finger, yeah, like, but it was like, woo!
Chris tells me this story, and it's so funny because he does this. like a jack-in-the-box, but a raccoon.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, so every time I go like, into the no, he got scared, I think, and ran away. But I've heard things in our trash can before,
oh
and now
gosh.
I'm like, oh, okay, this is what it is. Every time I go to put something in the trash can outside, I knock first.
You're so polite.
This has been months
Mr.
ago. This no, I'm scared I'm going to get attacked by the raccoon.
No,
it's nothing
I
to do with
being
polite. Anyway, I just love that story, and I hope you do
I love
too.
Story too. Now, this is what I want you to do. Okay. I want you to get a little container, put him in the container, put a thing that says "I love hugs" on him, and then give it to me for my birthday.
Put it on what?
The raccoon.
Oh, put the. On the raccoon that has rabies, keep it and deliver it to you for your birthday.
Yes.
Okay,
but
no problem.
Wearing a sweater that says, I love hugs.
You want me to wear the sweater?
No, I want him to wear the sweater.
Okay. The conversations. All right. So can you explain to everybody what in the world I just said when we opened up this episode?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So, well, it kind of starts with a story. So basically today I had this like, well, one, I haven't been feeling well for like a month, and it was like the first day that I felt like a human being. And I just had this like, I've been having this desire to, you know, how like sometimes in prayer you get kind of stagnant with what you're using, whether it be scripture or
every day.
And you just, you just need something
just
to meditate on that's a little different. Well, our fertility doctor, Dr. Caldwell, had messaged me And she had sent me this quote from St. Faustina, and it was so sweet. She like did it out of the blue and was like, I was thinking of you, like this made me think of you, because she endured a lot of like long-term suffering. And, you know, and I don't even remember the quote off my head because it was a longer one, but it was great. And she was like, have you ever read this? You know, have you ever read her diary? And I was like, actually, I've read parts of it, but not the whole thing. And so I started to open it up today because it was the first time I was like feeling well enough. And oh my gosh, like, oh, that was like a good snort. Okay.
Oh, I thought
like,
you were snoring.
No, she could, no, it was like a good sleep. She like, you know, sometimes saints like are kind of stuffy in the way they write, you know, like I'm just not like somebody that likes to read very like heady stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I do when it's like there's certain theological principles that I like to know and understand. But when I really just need that, like hit the heart, you know, holy crap. I just didn't, because of the way the diary looks, it looks kind of formal.
It does.
So it always put me off. Looking. Yeah. It totally looks intimidating. So I started reading it and like, she's so real. Like she's so raw and like, she's kind of emotional and kind of like, I don't know. I just related to her so much. And she like, she talks about her insecurities and all kinds of other stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but she, the one thing that really struck me was she's so, one, she listens to God so well. Mm-hmm. Like she, and she's very obedient, mm-hmm. which is always a struggle, you know? Yeah. And she does it in spite of other people's, like, what's going to happen, you know? There was this story about her, and I didn't even understand it, and I was like, what is going on? It talks about her going into the chapel, and she felt the Lord calling her to go into the chapel, and then she walked by these people, and they started throwing things at her, and she was,
Oh, I did hear this story. Yeah, I read a little bit of hers.
And I was like, what? Like, and she's like, yeah, and then, you know, they started throwing things at me, and then these people started throwing things at me, but then I got to where the Lord had been calling me on the chapel, and I felt God tell me that like I had like that here, like you did this for me. She felt joy. I mean, she just had been pummeled by things literally. And like, I didn't even understand why they were hitting her.
Right.
And like, and then God is like, because of your obedience, I give you graces to bestow on whoever you want. And I was like, holy moly.
What?
Right. Okay. So anyways, but there's this one story that really struck me that like kind of, this is what kind of struck our conversation about vanity and mm-hmm. obedience. And I want to share that because I feel like that'll kind of explain. Please, we can kind of go into what we're talking about, because the reality is there are times that the Lord calls us to things that seem crazy or put us in very uncomfortable situations with other people. And you're looking at God like, what the heck? Like, why would you do this to me? You know? And then, of course, it always turns out for a reason. And he's like, bam, he drops the mic. And you're like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So I'm going to read this story. It's from St. Faustina's diary. And it's on page 16. And it says, once Jesus told me, go to Mother Superior and ask her to let you wear a hair shirt for 7 days. And once each night you are to get up and come to the chapel. Okay, side note. Let's talk about this hair shirt. Okay.
You lost me on hair shirt.
I like immediately all I can think of is she's got this like gorilla shirt on. And why is Jesus asking her to put a gorilla shirt on? You know what I mean?
What is a gorilla shirt?
I don't know. Just like hairy, you know? No, like
a picture immediately popped into my head that kind of made me laugh too.
That's exactly. So I'm reading this and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, like I'm in this, like I've already read a few like chapters of her thing and I'm like, oh, like, yeah. And then it's this hair shirt. And I was like, well, what the heck? So what I did is I went and Googled hair shirt.
Okay? Could you order one of those on Amazon?
Probably nowadays. And I was like, what is a hair shirt? You know, like what? And this is, well, I'll tell you what it is in a second.
I mean, because, it's uncomfortable. Let's.
Well, that's right. The point of right. It. Well, of course. Yeah. But so as she goes on, I'll tell you what, because I was like, well, why is her mother superior? Okay. So she says, I said yes. So she says yes to Jesus, but I found a certain difficulty in actually going to the superior. Well, yeah, you're going to ask her to wear a hair shirt. In the evening, Jesus asked me, how long will you put it off? And I was like, this is what I love, sassy Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, so he's like, girl, Jesus. I already asked you once. How long are you putting this off? You know, he's so sad. Like, he is just not mild. I'm sorry. I don't feel like Jesus is ever mild. He's like, girl, get on it. Get your hair shirt, you know? He goes, she goes, I made up my mind to tell Mother Superior that very next time I would see her. So she avoids it. This is what I love about her, because she,
just wait till she's
like,
see her next.
So God's like, so girl, how long are you waiting? And she's like, I'll do it next time, you know? So she says, the next day before noon, I saw Mother Superior going to the refractory. And since the kitchen, refractory, and Sister Aloysia's little room are all close to each other, I asked Mother Superior to come into Sister Aloysia's room and told her of the wish of the Lord Jesus. This is my fave. At that, Mother answered, I will not permit you to wear any hair shirt. Absolutely not. If the Lord Jesus were to give you the strength of Colossus, I would then permit those mortifications. And I was like, why is she like freaking out about this hair shirt? It's just a hair shirt. So this is when I Googled hair shirt.
Oh.
And I was like, what's the dealio with the hair shirt? Okay. So it was originally a garment or undergarment made of coarse cloth or animal hair, a hair shirt, worn close to the skin. It is used by members of various Christian traditions as self-imposed means of repentance and mortification of the flesh. So it was supposed to irritate the skin as a self-mortification, which I always like. This is where when it gets into the faith, I'm like, okay, y'all go a little crazy on me, because I grew up, and I think we've said this, like I grew up with a bunch of these saint stories, and they were like whipping themselves and doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, why? How would the Lord want that for you? Like, I think there's a little something off there. You know what I mean? Like, I think that their mortification is good, but I don't think the Lord would want you to physically harm yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. That's just my personal opinion. You know, like, I do think that sometimes.
But not that it could never be something that he allows or calls people to, but it's maybe just those very few.
And I think it's the extreme to which some of them took it, which I think just shows our limitations and our imperfections, that we take something that Christ says and we go to the fullest extent, and he's like, whoa, calm down. You know what I mean? Which is what I feel like happens. Okay. So this is what I love, because in my mind, this like flashbacks to my childhood, and like these, like I need to go like do these ridiculous self-mortification things, you know, pray on my knees and for hours, and you know, walk on my knees and do all kind, you know, and I'm having like flashbacks, you know, and I'm like, I just don't get this. Like, I'm like, the lack of mercy of God, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, why would he want that? Why, you know? Anyways, so this is what she says. She goes, I apologize for taking up Mother's time. Sorry, Jesus just asked me this. So, and left the room. At that very moment, I saw Jesus standing at the kitchen door, and I said to him, you commanded me to ask for these mortifications.
Oh, snap. Is that your attitude, or is that
Faustina's? No, this is so her. This is so her. She's sassy. Excuse me, I have gum in my mouth. You commanded me to ask for these mortifications, but Mother Superior will not permit them. Ready for the mic drop?
Oh, okay.
He goes, I was here during your conversation with the Superior and know everything. Sassy Jesus.
Okay, side note. I think I've said that 3 times already this episode. I need to wind it back. But this is very serious and very like deep and intellectual and spiritual, and we can't stop laughing through. I feel like we're reading through it like a, but it is kind of funny.
But this is okay, real side note. Okay, side note. Like, but this is how our faith is so rich. And if we actually read things with true emotion.
Well, and it's true that like we put things up on a pedestal, or saints up on a pedestal.
So then the Lord God Jesus said.
But Jesus was a real person. Right. And this is good.
She was a real person. She had emotions.
Put some humanity into it.
Exactly. I say this all the time about the scriptures. I'm like, you get those one here and there that read the scriptures with passion. My friend Leslie Bertucci was the first one who truly made me want to read the Bible, because she read it with such like, she was like, oh my gosh, and then the army came, and like she just gave so much personality. Oh my gosh, so awesome. Well, I mean, imagine reading this and being like, then Jesus said, you know?
Yeah.
No, Jesus said, I was here during your conversation with the superior and know everything. Like, hello.
By the way. Hello. In case you forgot.
In case you forgot.
I'm Jesus.
I'm an omnipotent. Okay. He goes, I don't demand mortification from you, but obedience. By obedience, you give great glory to me and gain merit for yourself. So all along, he didn't want the hair shirt. He just wanted her to be obedient and not care what Mother Superior would think and be obedient to him. It was an act of obedience, which then was going towards working on vanity.
Things are getting real now. I just had to take off my raincoat.
I need to check my sugars.
Check your sugars.
Oh, they're going down.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, nice.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you, Sassy Jesus.
Woo!
But for real, like that, Elise just shared this with me not too long ago. And right before we sat down to start podcasting, it just stuck with me. I was like, man, this is really hitting me hard because of so many times it's about vanity, right? Like vanity mm-hmm. is, what was the definition you gave me a little while ago? Thinking of how other people
see. So basically vanity, which is crazy because I think, you know, when you think of vanity, we all kind of grew up thinking like, oh, I just look in the mirror a lot. So we're all like, I don't struggle with vanity. Well, yes, that's part of vanity. Mm-hmm. But vanity is more about love of others, putting the love of others over your love for God.
Or the attention or the focus, worrying about what other people will think of us or how they will see us. And we over how God will see us or what he's calling us to do. And Elise and I were both sharing with each other that we both feel like we're kind of struggling with that right now.
Oh, and always. That's my lifelong struggle. That is my root sin.
She shared it with me and I was like, that's funny because God has been bringing that up to me in my own private personal prayer a lot too. So it's just especially like, you know, a lot of the things we do are public, like with speaking or social media. And it's hard because part of it is discerning, right? We have three voices in our head. We have the enemy, ourselves, and Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we have to discern, well, which one is which? And that's really hard. And especially when you're doing something public, like speaking or something like that. You wonder how much do I want to get the good feelings from this and how much is God really called? So it's a battle. It's a challenge. And so, but something that has really brought me peace is understanding. I feel like it gets more objective when we can say, no, I'm doing this out of obedience. Like, because sometimes I want to take a step back because I'm like, I can't do this. I'm not good enough for this. Mm-hmm. But God is not asking me to be good enough. Mm-hmm. He's asking me to be obedient. That takes all the mess away for me. And it's like, okay, I can look at this in black and white. This is what, like, these are the gifts he's given me. These are the opportunities he's given me. Like, I know this is what he's calling me to do. So I just need to focus first on obedience and forget about how I'm feeling about it.
Or how people are reacting. Mm-hmm. Because this is what we talk about is in a social media driven culture, like, the reality is we very much are driven by the likes we get, I'll do this if the feedback is good, because otherwise it's not worth my time, which is just completely wrong, because if you're doing it, you could be helping one person, and that one message that you put out there could have been a lifeline for somebody who really needed to hear it. And there's so many times recently that I've felt the Holy Spirit on my heart and I denied it because I didn't feel like it was good enough, or I didn't feel like sharing at the time or whatever.
Feelings.
And
nothing.
Or I was sick of sounding sad or sick of, you know, whatever, because as I was talking about with you earlier, is like, so let me introduce the idea of root sin. So my spiritual director had talked to me about, and it's, oh my gosh, I love the way, it was the first time somebody had approached something that was so practically applicable to my life. So he was like, you know, he uses kind of this method of breaking things down into three roots in. So pride, vanity, and sensuality. pride being love of self above God, vanity, like we said, love of others above God, and then sensuality, like love of things, pleasure, and things mm-hmm. above God. Mm-hmm. But there's one driving force, like one root sin that really drives.
One that's your favorite.
which we all have some of it, but it's like when you really break down your actions, you know, there's one of those that just like is your motivator, yeah. right? And so as we started to kind of, because he has this whole exercise and I started doing it with our kids in the youth group and it was really helpful, we identified that mine was vanity. And it's so funny because it always stings, you know, the most when you know what it is, you know.
It's like, well, thanks, I'm vain.
Great, I know. And so all you think is, oh, I don't like to look in the mirror, and I don't have to look a certain way. But it's so far beyond that. It goes so deep, and it's all about like you putting others above God and you putting yourself last in detrimental ways because you're afraid of what other people will think or what they will say or how they'll view you, you know? Yeah. And so I have created this pattern my whole life of this mask, this smile that everybody knows me for, my family, right. everybody. It's, oh, she's always so nice. I love your smile. You're always smiling. You're always happy. Well, the problem with that is that it's not real.
Yeah.
But I put that smile on because I don't want to look sad to other people, you know, and I don't want to bring other people down. I have a savior complex. I'm always trying to save or fix somebody.
To help people.
So I can't be the one to be down. You know what I mean? Right. Well, I mean, that got very serious in my life as far as like, then I started turning inward on myself because I was trying to be everything for everybody else. And you wouldn't think, oh, that's vanity. No, that's absolute vanity, because instead of being real, instead of admitting that I had these limitations and maybe my not being able to be there for a friend or not being able to go to that event or not being able to volunteer for that thing, I chose to do all those things at the detriment of myself and then my relationships around me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's this kind of poison, whereas when we are obedient to God's will, you know, and we are obedient to what he says, and we're not worried about what people think or how their reactions, then we're working within, funny enough, our limitations, which is another thing that we're going to talk about. You know?
And the thing about other people's reactions or how they feel about us is actually not accurate representation at all of our worth or our value or how we're serving God.
Right.
It's completely, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a smokescreen. It's just, it's all in our perceptions. It's just not even accurate.
Well, and our perceptions of what they even think aren't even really real necessarily. Half the time.
So it's
more
this,
than half
it's
the time.
It's this thing the enemy uses for sure. But also, like you talked about, I don't like to look at myself in the mirror that much. I'm not vain. But like that's the sneakiness of the enemy. He doesn't want to be obvious.
Right.
You know, and especially for people who are devout Catholics or just practicing Catholics like he's not going to catch those people in the obvious sins and slip ups because we're aware of what sin is and we avoid it. So he's got to be tricky.
Oh yeah.
This is when we need, we always need to be really practicing in our prayer life, being introspective and looking at ourselves in these more discreet ways and these root sins you're talking about. I know what she's talking about. When she received this, she shared it with me. I was so excited and it was actually very powerful. And I read up about it too. And this is a great way to be able to attack the enemy back, basically, and defend yourself against these things in just this understanding of the root sins. So it doesn't catch you off guard. You can see those other discreet ways that it rears its ugly head.
Well, and it's what's crazy to me was that I hadn't heard this before. Like we had talked about virtues. I think I've said this so many times. Like I'm so obsessed with virtue and vices, like because they're so practical and they're once you have a roadmap, you can seek to strive for more, you know, but if you don't know what's wrong with you, you know, if you don't know the problem, then you don't know how to fix it. And once I identified the problem, then I could go through all of the actions in my life, look at what they were stemming, what the intention was, and then seek to overcome that and seek to change that. You know what I mean? So they call it it's a legionnaire thing. They call it the plan of life. And so they'll actually go through and be like, in what ways is vanity like really taking over your life? Like, what are these certain actions that you struggle with? And you'll write those down, and then you'll come up with a counteraction to like counteract that with virtue. And so you're making progress in your spiritual landscape inside in a way that I've never done. You know what I mean? And so, and you have this understanding for the first time of in your life, why you are the way you are. Like, why am I motivated? Why do I act like this? And then once you identify that problem, you can be like, okay, so it needs to stop. Whereas before, I operated out of this kind of heretical way of thinking that I needed to just give and give and give and give and give because I'm Christian and I'm Catholic and we die on the cross. That's, you know what I mean? That's what we do. And we put everybody above ourselves. And that's not what God has called us to. Right. Like, that he's above everybody else. Not everybody's above everybody else, you know? But that's the thing, is like, there's an obsession with, you know, wanting to be there for people, wanting to help people. And what's crazy is that it's a good thing to want those things. But when it becomes detrimental to you and to the relationships around you, then it's no longer holy. Like, this is why we have to discern. This is why, like you said, we have to be introspective and be praying and bringing things before the Lord and saying, Lord, what is it that you want? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Faustina, okay? So she's so open to the Holy Spirit that he says, go talk to Mother Superior about this. And she's like, okay, I will, you know? And so she goes and does it. And then Mother Superior like rejects her. And he's like, but all I wanted was your obedience. You know what I mean? Like, and it wasn't, it's one of those things I think is so powerful, because think about it. Like, sometimes we just need that assurance that like your heart is in the right place, you know? Like, and I love that our God is so human. You know what I mean? That like, he desires intimacy so much, and he needs tests, you know, of trust at times as well. And like, will you be faithful to me? You know, even in the midst of it, you know, Job, it's like, you know, the whole Satan taunting him and being like, well, you know, he has everything, so he's faithful to you. But if you took away this, he mm-hmm. wouldn't be. And God has, and this is where it's so funny, because you can take it in a negative or a positive, right? And the Lord really revealed this to me in the past like year or so. He, you know, God had confidence in Job. It wasn't a, you know, well, we'll just see what, you know, we can do to screw him over. Yeah. He was like, no, I have such confidence in my servant that you could throw anything at him and he would still remain faithful. Yep. You know what I mean? And like, that's like, in the simplest ways, he called her to overcome her vanity. And what happens when you do that? You are freed. Like, you are freed of something. You know, you are freed of a chain, because if God says, because it may, the next time it may be something even bigger that she needs to be obedient for. And now she has the strength to know, no matter what, God is bringing something out of this, you know?
Yeah.
So do I trust him enough to know that no matter what, he's working for my good, you know?
Well, and here's the thing, you talked about being in prayer regularly and being open, staying, going to confession, receiving the sacraments. All those things are important. I mean, at the very base of all that, it's simply being interested in growing closer to Christ. Mm. Like,
that's like, ooh,
the
yeah.
difference between complacency and being lukewarm,
yes.
and actual real growth.
Yeah.
We have to make some big decisions daily. We yes. can't just do something once and it's done and we've achieved this depth with Christ.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
No, like, that is false. That is the biggest lie from the enemy. We have to make these choices daily. We have to always be open. We are enough, but like, we've never grown deep enough. Right. So there's always room for growth. And it's when we can live that attitude day by day mm-hmm. that we will continue to grow. And we should want to find these roots in, so that yeah. like you describe, we can yeah. go in this journey to see, how can I change these things in my life? How can I find this freedom?
Yeah.
That you just, freedom from this sin. But we can't recognize the sin in our own lives, the things that we struggle with, unless we're open and we're looking for it.
Well, it's just crazy too, because just talking about freedom when it comes to like vanity specifically, there is so much fear that goes into vanity. And so many times that I can look back in my life and still can be identify vanity, vanity, vanity is what has gotten in the way of this. And if I would let go, you know, and I feel like you are such a good example of this recently with all the stuff that you're doing, especially with Victrice, like where you can, and you've said it yourself, you know, you can be like, yeah, look at me, this white girl, da, 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 da. But instead of allowing Satan to get in your head about that, you leaned into the strange and you didn't say no to the spirit. We're going to talk about this later. Okay. And that's what I love. That's why I love that line so much. I'm going to have to hold off because we're doing an episode about this, but pause, remind me to talk about that. Cause I love that so much. And because you have been obedient, you have, like, you started out, and I already thought you were good at when you started out, but because you have been obedient and you keep showing up, you have just gotten so good. And like the Lord is doing this new thing in you, and you're not worried about what people think. You know
what
I mean?
That's not true. But thank you for saying that, because that's like, it's been so hard because I am so, I feel like I'm looking at myself from an outsider, how I perceive other people perceive me.
Right.
That's why it's been so hard to do this, and it's taken me so long, and it's still hard as I sit before you today, because I'm just constantly doubting and questioning myself because I am, perception is my reality. I am assuming what other people are looking at me and thinking.
But this is, okay.
But it's a matter of obedience, and that's why I'm saying, like, guys, if you're struggling with this, go to obedience. And I can't, it's not... The gifts that God has given me, I know are not my own. Like the lyrics that I've written, I know I could not have done. So when I say objective and black and white, I mean looking and saying, well, I didn't do this. Like, this is beauty from Holy Spirit, and I cannot deny this. So it's the obedience of saying, let's share this with the world.
Well, and it's, but and this
if I
is,
look stupid, I look stupid.
But this is what I love. And I love your vulnerability, and thank you for sharing that, is that you're right. Like, you are going to, this is what people don't understand about the spiritual life. Freedom doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be afraid. You know what I mean? It means that in spite of that fear, that you will act, you know? And so you continue to overcome. And this is why I think it's like people are so strong when they strive for virtue, because you're constantly fighting a battle with yourself, you know, but through that you gain strength, one little victory, and you see the way that God worked, one little time of obedience, and you get stronger and stronger. And so then the fear starts to lessen, you know what I mean? And the more that you conquer, the more it lessens, you know, and it may rile back up with something new, but then
it's the daily fight. That's what I'm talking about, is making the choice daily. But what you just said, you becoming more of yourself. Is that what you say? It's so funny because when I'm in the zone, you know, and I'm recording or I'm rapping or like when I was on stage with Oscar, it was actually... I actually become more myself when I'm not worried about what other people think. Anybody else can understand this feeling, what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's when I start becoming, oh, someone's looking at me. Mm-hmm. I am not feeling comfortable. I'm putting on this facade. I'm actually not using the gifts God gave me. Right. Like, I'm actually not doing a great job at this gift he gave me. And you feel that. And I've felt that. And when you're saying this freedom, the freedom is in being us, truly, intimacy, like into me, see, like you're seeing into me, this is me.
Right.
It's really a big difference when we can acknowledge that.
Well, and it's like for me, which is so funny because I gave so many talks on that very point for like a year straight when I had this like realization, you know, about being yourself and how like nobody is gonna love me if I am not me. You know what I mean? Like nobody literally can love me if I won't be me. And like, I need to accept all the things about myself that I can't stand because they make me me. You know, one thing I can't stand about myself is I'm really nice. I know that sounds funny, but I would rather be sassier. I'd rather be that person that has the witty thing that to come back with when somebody says something.
Yeah.
And I'm not. I'm like, I always default to nice.
Yeah.
Even when, and I've told you this, like even when I'm not the most like the biggest fan of somebody, I find a way to compliment them because like, but then I start obsessively complimenting them. I've said this before. It's
called awkward complimenting. Yeah,
yeah. So I go down to this like, so instead of being like standoffish or whatever, I'm like, oh, your hair is nice. Oh, your shirt is pretty. Oh, I like your makeup. You know, like, it's like, and I like, and, but like the funny, and if you look in all my yearbooks, like it's all like, you're so nice. We love you. You're always so nice.
And like they wrote that to you.
Yes. Saying? Yes. And I'm like,
oh, it's so funny because that's what you're putting off. So that's what people are saying.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I had to accept that, like, okay, that's me. Like, it doesn't, because I see when people say, oh, somebody's nice, there's this, to me, there's this connotation of like, they're not strong, and they're a pushover and they're this and they're that. And it's like, no, like, I had to accept that and explore that about myself and then come to love it and be like, yeah, I am a really nice person. Like, I've always been that way.
And again,
like,
we can become the people we were created to be, who we truly are, when we allow ourselves to do that. We're not so worried about what other people are thinking, because we change ourselves so much when we are worried about what people are thinking.
Oh my gosh. As a kid, like, how many times were you like, oh yeah, I totally know this song. Or like, oh my gosh, this movie? Yeah, I totally know that movie. And then somebody would be like, so what about this? And you'd be like, oh shit. Like, oh no. You know what I mean?
Well, but
like,
if you flip it around too, don't you like the person who's more authentic?
Right.
Who you feel like you can connect with more because they're being themselves.
Just say, oh no, I've never heard that before. Why is it such a big deal? You know, but as a kid, like, you're like, no, I can't look stupid. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, like, the things that make me unique are probably the weirdest things. I'm obsessed with animals. I love getting dirty. I'm like a boy and a girl combined. Like, I love hanging with the boys. I would rather go get dirty than go shopping. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather go fishing. I'd rather go wading, digging in the dirt for worms. You know
and
what I mean?
It's those things that not only make you you, but make you cool. And like, why people actually like you.
Well, and if I hide that, like, I'm a total nerd. I like Star Trek. I like Star Wars. Like, right. I like, but I also am like super like deep and want to talk about spiritual things, but also want to act like a freaking weirdo and dress up in like weird ways. You know what I mean? Like, if I just am myself, I have so much more fun. You know what I mean? And when I try to hide these things, I am not a stuck up person. I cannot be this well put together person. I will probably say things and talk over you and, you know, like, that's me. Am I working on it? Yeah. But I can love who I am and realize that not everybody's going to like me. And I think I said this recently is like, Kelly, our counselor, she was like, you know, she had this, like, we had this big realization one time where she was like, Elise, like, do you like everybody? I think I said this recently. Yeah. And she's like, and I was like, no. And she's like, well, then why does everybody have to like
you? Such a good point.
She's so good. She'll these like nuggets that are like, oh man, I'm going to hold on to that one. Cause it's like, no,
nugget bombs,
not everybody's going to like me. We don't even have enough time in the day for everybody to like us. Cause if we liked everybody, we'd never have any time for real relationships.
Yeah, we'd be crazy.
I just got real passionate. I should check my sugar.
Uncheck the sugars. Time for a high five.
Man.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I mean, yeah.
Are you ready for your word of the day?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
Bring it on.
All right. You can't use the word in a definition.
Okay.
Okay. I just made up a rule. The word is spoonerism.
Wait, I can't use the
can't
word?
Can't wear the used spoon, no.
Okay.
Spoonerism.
Okay, sorry. I had to think of like ism, like, okay, to like properly do this. Okay, when one is prone to making, now, oh crap. Okay, wait, let me think. I need to use the word.
Okay,
can I just use
I'll
the word?
Allow it.
Okay, thank you.
But only if you say permission to use the word.
Permission to use the word.
Permission granted.
Okay. When one spoons another in an excessive manner, they are called spoonerisms.
Okay. I thought you were going to say they are called to spoonerism. Like some...
That was weak.
Theological.
That was weak.
No, I'll accept it. All right. The actual definition has a word that we might have to look up, but I'll read it anyway. A transposition of usually initial sounds of two or more words, as in tons of soil for sons of toil.
What? Are we back in like Shakespearean time?
Evidently. So you sons guys listen toil, to Messy course. Buns podcast and also learn strange words and definitions that you can use and sound smart in front of your friends.
Well, is total. No, I'm a spoonerism. I obsessively spoon.
That sounds good. I like your definition better. I usually do. But anyway. Y'all, thanks for hanging out with us today and listening to Messy Buns podcast. Stay tuned. You guys, please go and rate us on Apple
and we give don't us mind stars. If you give us stars.
Yeah, I mean, be honest. Rate us only if you like us. Oh, no, I'm kidding. Be honest. Thanks, y'all. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Oh,
we'll talk to you next time because we won't see you. I'll see you.
Yeah.
Your snorts.